Romans chapter 7 tonight. Romans chapter 7. Of course, I was praying about just exactly the messages that God would have me to bring as we come for the week of revival and wanting to be an encouragement to this church. And I trust that the messages have helped you and you've been able to grow through some of those, some of the teachings that we have looked at in the Word of God. Tonight, possibly one of the hardest passages of scriptures in the New Testament to plug into. I've read it many a times, and early on when I would read it, I think, what did I just read? And all the things going on, and of course, I've been pastoring 40 years, preaching through the scriptures every year, you know, through the whole Bible, and so I have been able to learn a lot, and the more you study the scriptures and the more you prepare to preach them, you're studying it, and you just get every little thing out of it. And this was the passage of scripture that for many years I just didn't fully understand it, didn't fully grasp the power that is in this passage of scripture tonight. And this was the passage of scripture that God laid on my heart to present to you as a church. And I trust it'll be a help to you as you read through the Bible and you get to this passage. You will have a little bit more understanding of it to be helped by it. And so Romans chapter 7, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 14 down to verse 25. Romans chapter 7, again, here we are. We made it, praise the Lord, Tuesday night. You're here on a Tuesday night. And I mean, you're not... I don't know that you're ever in church outside revivals and mission conferences on a Tuesday night. So you've had most people have a routine and what they do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you have all that. Well, you had to switch all that around to be able to be in church on a Tuesday night, right? And I trust that it will be worth it because not only did you make it here, you're going to plug in and receive the help that God has for us tonight through this passage of scripture. So Romans chapter 7. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. And we thank you for every word that you have preserved in this King James Bible. You've preserved it so that believers could live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. we have every word and we have to just learn and study it to know how to apply it. I pray tonight, God, as we look at this somewhat confusing passage of Scripture, that you would help us to gain what you have us to gain by understanding what we can understand and making the application. Pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Wow. Anybody confused? First of all, I want to present who God chose to present this message to be written down and preserved for New Testament Christianity for the entire church age. It's been 2,000 years so far since Jesus came, fulfilled the Old Testament, established the New Testament, established his church, fulfilled the scriptures. We have full revelation today. There is no new revelation from God. We have everything that God wants us to have, leading all the way up to the end of time. We have that which is past, that which is present, and that which is to come. God has revealed that to us. What a blessing to know that. If you have any questions about history, about the past, look to the Bible. Everything you need to know about the past is found in the Scriptures, and it'll help you if you understand that. You need to know about the future, I mean the present right now, what's going on, the purpose of life, everything else, look to the Bible. God's revealed to us everything that we need to understand about this present day that we live in. You have questions about the future? Don't call the psychic hotline. That's going to confuse you that much more. Look to the Bible and understand what God has revealed to us, because that's what we need to have in order to be able to live as God would have us to live today, knowing what we have, what the future holds. When you understand that heaven is going to be eternity in the presence of God, and the life that we live now is temporal, we'll put more emphasis on that which is eternal instead of that which is temporal. So the one that God used to present this passage of Scripture that has a very, very powerful truth that all of us need to learn, and I trust I can help you to learn that tonight, was the Apostle Paul. Wrote 13 of the New Testament books of the Bible. Tremendous servant of the Lord. You know, this was a righteous man. This is somebody that God put his hand upon and used greatly. He's the one that God chose to inspire to write this passage of Scripture for us even to learn from it tonight. A righteous man. This is Paul's revelation about himself that all of us need to identify with. There's a battle raging inside of all of us. You need to understand it. The other night I said that never an excuse for wrong behavior, but there's always reasons why people behave wrongly. You need to understand the reasons to be able to get the victory. It's somewhat the same right here. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Paul would write this revelation about himself that we can identify with. Everyone that is truly saved or has been influenced by Christianity. Not everyone that's been influenced by Christianity gets saved. Not every child that is raised in the home of a godly family gets saved. It's God's will that all get saved. Not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come into that place of repentance and salvation. But God's given everyone a free will. Parents have no control over their child getting saved, receiving or rejecting. No, you have an influence. And when you raise them as God would have you to raise them, you're giving their child the best opportunity to make the right decisions, but not all of them will make right decisions. Look at Adam. His two sons, raised in the very same environment, raised under the very same parents, Cain and Abel, went two separate directions, two different mindsets. It's sad. I feel so bad for families in our church that raise their children and then the children don't follow in the footsteps. They don't have the same convictions. They just, I guess they adopt the parents' convictions and they maybe even adopt the church convictions, but they don't establish those convictions for themselves. And that's where a wise parent will understand. You can't force it. You have to help them. You have to guide them and direct them, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to give them the best chance to develop their own convictions from the Word of God. And what they see goes a long way. What they experience speaks louder than what words they hear. So this is a powerful message concerning that very same thing. Everyone that has been influenced by Christianity has that inside of them. And if you understand those things, you have that inside of you, then you're going to have battles raging inside of you. All truly saved, or those that have been influenced by Christianity, will have these inner battles. The saved have two natures. As we study the scriptures and we understand, we have, first of all, the old man, the old sinful nature that we passed down from Adam. When Adam sinned, he inherited this sinful nature. And so the bloodline of Adam, which all of us are connected to, brings to us a sin nature. We are born with a sin nature. We are born, if you will, dead to God in our trespasses and sins because of the sin nature. Before you ever commit a sin, you have a sin nature that separates you from God. Now, God is very much aware, and I believe there is a grace period of the age of accountability coming at some day, and different ones, different ages for that. We're not going to get into that tonight. But the idea there is there will come a time when that child will have to make a decision for themselves on what they'll do with Jesus, whether they're going to believe and receive or not, or reject. We are two natures, the old nature, the flesh. Verse 14, Paul identifies with that. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's what he's talking about there. He's got a sinful nature. Verse 18, he would say, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing good, there's nothing righteous about a sin nature. It's not the nature of God, it's not the ways of God, it's a nature of the devil himself. And so there dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You're not going to find that. The sin nature has never encouraged anyone to do right. The sin nature will never help you to want to do right. If that's all you have to look to, then you're going to continue to live in sin. But when you get saved, you still have an old nature. And along with that old nature is a conscience. That's the soul brings the conscience into play. When you get saved, you have a new nature. The Bible reveals that as being a new man. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which will direct you according to the new nature. Paul addressed that in verse 22 when he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's what he's talking about. He's got this old man, this old nature, and he's got a conscience that God has given to humanity. Whether saved or lost, you have a conscience. That's what sets you apart from animals. One of the things that sets us apart from animals is a soul, an eternal soul, which gives us a conscience. The Holy Spirit presents, as we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit who brings within us a new man, a new nature. That's the saved. The lost are unregenerated and are spiritually dead. They don't have a new nature. That child of yours, until they get saved, they do not have a new nature. It's good for parents to understand that. You're expecting a lot of good to come from a sinful individual who does not have a new nature. Now, if you've influenced them, you can influence them to do good. You can influence them to obey. You can influence them to do all the right things outwardly, but they don't have a new nature until they make a decision for themselves to get saved. But they will follow instructions. They can be taught to follow instructions. They can be taught to look like an saved person and act like a saved person. But until they get saved, they're not saved. They do not have a new nature. So the lost are unregenerated, spiritually dead, because they're still living in their own trespasses and sins. It's not until they get saved that they are made alive, quickened, Paul would say in the book of Ephesians, and made alive unto God. That's salvation. This old nature has a flesh that drives them. That's the most influential thing that a lost person has, is the flesh. And they have a conscience. That's a soul. Lost man has a soul. Lost woman has a soul. They have a soul. That's the conscience, which will convict through what they have been taught. Right. See, there's two different ways that we are convicted. We are convicted through our conscience, and we are convicted through the Holy Spirit of God. The way to tell the difference between the two, if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God will always point you to God as a reason for the conviction. Conscious conviction will point you to the source that taught you right from wrong. And so when you do wrong, then you are convicted, but it's not from the Holy Spirit. It's conviction looking back to what Dad taught me, looking back to what Mom taught me. If there's going to be conviction, there can be, not Holy Spirit conviction because they're lost, but they can be convicted by what they have been influenced by. They've been influenced by Christianity. They can be convicted and they can go look to the church. Well, I was taught in Sunday school and I was taught this and I was taught that. And so you have that influence in your life. And when you go opposite that which you were taught when you were in church, there's a conviction. But if you're lost, it's not a conviction of the Holy Spirit because you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's a conviction of conscience linked to whoever taught you what you're doing is wrong. And that's where a lot of religion passed down to other religions. And that's why they focus more on the church, because they have the conviction of the church. But that's not necessarily the same conviction they're going to have of God. God's conviction comes by way of the Holy Spirit, which is based upon the Scriptures, God's holy word. So Paul reveals this great battle within. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members warring. There's a war going on inside of me. There's a war going on inside of each one of us. No devil would love to block that out. He would love for you not to get the understanding of that war. I remember I was saved when I was 8, raised in church. In my teenage years, I rebelled. And I tried to, I had the ungodly friends, I had the connections through school and the different places I was working. And I would go with them and I would try to enjoy what they seemed to be enjoying. And I would just mimic what they were doing. And I could tell they were enjoying that. I was never enjoying that. And I thought myself to be weird, because no one ever taught me about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Until I learned about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and I realized, I'm not weird, I'm saved. They're lost and they can enjoy those things. I've got the conviction of the Holy Spirit inside of me, even though I didn't even understand it until later on. But that helped me so much when I understood that the Holy Spirit of God's conviction is real. I can't live like a lost man and not have the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. That was something that God used when He called me into ministry. I said, I don't want any teenager to have to ever go through that again. I want to try to help as many as I can to understand what's going on in your own body, what's going on in your own mind, what's going on with the conviction in your life concerning the difference between Holy Spirit conviction and conscious conviction. And there's a huge difference. Wow. Paul says, but I see another law in my members warring. Wow. Paul's revelation about himself. Against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, bringing my thoughts into captivity, understanding the mind is the key, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members, being able to understand this inner sin and this conviction and this new nature and this new man. And making sure that it all comes out and I got it clear in my mind so that I can identify conviction of conscience and conviction of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, everybody following me tonight? This will help you, I guarantee, especially parents, it'll help you in raising children. You have to understand these things and your own child begin. 2 Peter chapter 2, look what Peter writes under the inspiration of God. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now what's it talking about right there? You've escaped the pollution of the sins of the world because you got saved. And when you get saved, you come out from among them and be separate. You understand, you have the Spirit of God in convicting you of sin. And you get saved and you start living the righteous life because you have the influence of the Spirit of God convicting you and leading you to live and do right. Okay, so he's talking about those that got saved. And he says, these same ones that get saved, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. It's worse for a saved individual to try to live like a lost individual than a lost individual living like a lost individual. They can do it without conviction. They can do it and enjoy unrighteousness. As I just said, if you get saved and you are turned back into that, you're in a worse condition. It would be better, look what it says in verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. In this life, in this world, you'd be better off not to get saved if you're going to live a life of sin. That's what it's talking about here. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. How would it be better? Because if you're lost, you don't have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you have the conviction. In this life, you're the most miserable person in the world. Better off not to get saved if you're going to live a life of sin. If you're dedicated to live a life of sin, then you better off not getting saved because you're not going to be able to do that. The most miserable person in the world is not the lost person. The most miserable person in the world is not the saved person. It is a saved person trying to live like the lost person. That's the worst place you can be in. Hey man, it's good to know that. Don't let Satan blind you to that. That's what Paul's saying. That very same thing is what Paul is trying to get these things out to understand this. Better for those who yield to their sin nature not to have been saved, better in this life because of the battle raging within, but it's not better when it comes to eternity. Because eternity, a lost person's going to a devil's hell with never, no hope of ever escaping the damnations and the torments of hell. If you get saved, you're saved. Amen. You've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be miserable living outside of the ways of God here, but even by the skin of your teeth, Paul would write, you get to heaven. But you get to heaven. Yeah. To be absent from the body for the born-again believer is to be present with the Lord. That is a promise. That is a statement that God gives us from the Scriptures. But if you try as a saved person to live like a lost person, you're going to be the most miserable person on earth. Don't go there. Don't let the devil talk you into that. Yeah. Mm. So, for the saved person, we have access to God for godly wisdom and knowledge, and access to God for godly wisdom and knowledge is what I need to be what I need to be. The Apostle Paul knew what he needed to be for others. He would write to the church of Galatia and he would give this verse, I am crucified with Christ. Even though there's a battle raging inside of me, I know this. For me to be able, with this battle raging inside of me, the flesh against the spirit, this battle raging inside of me, I know this. My thinking is clear. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ in me allows me to overcome the flesh. Christ in me allows me to overcome the sin nature. So I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the mindset that Paul was looking for. And that is the mindset that will help every born-again believer. And no matter what kind of battle is raging inside of you, die to self. Be alive unto God. Because that's where the joy of the Lord comes from. And it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is. It is. As a believer, as a spiritual leader, as a parent, as an officer in a church, as a Sunday school teacher, Have you ever felt like Paul? If you don't understand it, it'll eat away at you. It'll tear you up. For we know that the law is spiritual. It's the Apostle Paul presented this. But I am carnal, sold under sin. It's in me. As a pastor for 40 years, it's been in me for 40 years. If I didn't know it, I would not have continued to be a pastor. I would have given up on myself because I know what comes through my mind. I know the temptations that many times that are brought to my flesh. If I didn't have this truth, I would have given up on being used of God a long, long time ago. But if the Apostle Paul can look at himself and say, I am carnal, and still be able to live righteously? Wow. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am. Have you ever seen yourself as being a wretched man because of something that's going on inside of you? Every believer is not always going to have every right thought. Every believer is not always going to have the right desires. It's in us all. But you don't have to give in to them. You can overcome them, every one of them. There's no excuse for wrong behavior. You can overcome every temptation in every attempt of the devil to work through your flesh and to work through that sinful nature to get you to do something that you shouldn't do. You can overcome that. That's what Paul is presenting to us. But I've seen myself as a wretched man. Yeah. Seen myself as being carnal. As a pastor. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, it's where it's coming from. It's where it's coming from for you. It's old sinful nature, it's the flesh. Dwelleth no good thing. Wow. And I have to live out this life with it. I've often said one of the things that I'm looking forward to more than anything else in heaven, the absence of a sinful nature. No, never a wrong thought. Never a wrong temptation. Never a wrong response when somebody comes to you and you should act pastoral and you want to punch them in the face. Yeah, It's been there, yeah. Praise the Lord, I've never done that. But I can't tell you I've not had those thoughts. Yeah. But when I have those thoughts, I understand where they're coming from. And I crucify the flesh. And I ask God, help me. Because I know that's not what you want me to do. That's not what you want me to be. Help me to overcome that and respond as Christ is living in me. Isn't that good? It is. We all have it. It's how we respond to it. But if you don't understand it, you're not going to respond in the right way. So you got to have an understanding of it. That's why God chose Paul to write it and preserve it. So that we can have a better understanding of it, so that we can overcome those thoughts. But not without a fight. Not without a spiritual battle raging inside of us. From day one, as a husband, I never felt like I had all the answers. Never been married before. Never taken on a wife. I would have had wrong thoughts. I would have had some wrong feelings. Unless I would have acknowledged God's help and looked to the Spirit of God to lead me to be the man that I need to be as a husband to my wife. I should never focus on her being the wife she needs to be to me. That's not my part. That's not what I'm going to give an account for. She'll give an account for what kind of a wife she is to me. I'll give an account for what kind of a husband I am to her. And if I'm going to be the right kind of a husband to my wife, I need God. I need God's instructions. I need God's direction. Because in me is wretchedness. I mean, it's an old sinful nature. It's a wrong thinking. It's a wrong ways. God help me. From day one, when I was in the delivery room, and God gave us our firstborn, I never felt like I had all the answers as a father. I knew I didn't. Never been a dad. But I'm so thankful that I had God to look to. So thankful I had the Word of God to look to understand what the Bible tells me and instructs me on how to be the kind of father. One of the best advice anyone's ever given me as far as my position as a father: raise your children the way God raises you. Love your children like God loves you. Discipline your children the way God disciplines you. Whoa. What a great truth. That did not come out of the old sinful flesh. That did not come out of my old nature. That came from the Spirit of God directing me in the position that I had as a father. From day one as a pastor, I never thought I had all the answers. There's never a day goes by as a pastor that I'm not looking to God and saying, God, I can't do this without you. I can't study the way I need to study. I can't prepare messages the way I need to prepare. I definitely cannot present the message. I cannot preach the way you would have that I need to preach. I can't feed the flock of God the way that they need to be fed without you. So thankful I never have to live without God. Since I've been saved, He's always been there. If you're saved, He's there. And there's a battle raging. The greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. You can overcome the battle. You can live the victorious Christian life. You can be the husband you need to be. You can be the wife you need to be. You can be the parent you need to be. You can be that spiritual leader that God wants you to be. But you got to understand it. You just got to understand it. Chapter 7, verse 24. I got to hurry up here. I won't take too much time with you. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Question mark. He knew he was going to give the answer. Answer. I thank God. He delivers me. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I make sure that I have the right kind of thinking in my mind. God designed the mind to have the authority and the power over the body. The body will never commit a sin outside the mind giving it the go-ahead. And what's more powerful than the mind is the Spirit. And the Spirit can overcome the mind as the mind overcomes the body. And we can live according to the Spirit as we live a Spirit-controlled, mind-controlled body. Whoa. That'll help you. Got to yield. Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself, I can't control anybody else's mind. But my mind, I myself serve the law of God. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, it just says this. Let me read this to you. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. So many are strongholds of imaginations. They let the imaginations of the mind control them, and you lose sight of peace. You have fear, thinking something's going to happen, it's never going to happen, all the different things, and you're controlled by this imagination of the mind when you ought to be more controlled by the Word of God. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, into my mind, focusing on this, bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And when you do that, you'll win that battle raging inside of you. As Paul reveals the importance of winning the inward battle for control of our minds, we too must turn away from the mentality of the world. We too must do what Paul would write young Timothy when he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, every thought, approved unto God, a workman, not a lord, not a master, a servant, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, as a husband, a wife, as a parent, as a pastor, as a Sunday school teacher, needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can I encourage you tonight? Understand there's a war raging inside of every one of us. Focus on winning the battle. You can win the battle and be what God wants you to be.